Welcome to this segment of Be Simply. We have special guest Random Rab, an amazing creator, joining us today. We're going to dive into where he's been, what's unfolding, and a special event that's coming up this May. So without further ado, let's dive in with Rab.
Rab, it's so great to have you here today. I'm excited to chat with you. It's always enlightening. You are coming out with vinyl. That really inspired me. I know this album, you've toured it. A couple of things. I'm curious how your album has been received and how you have you heard it on the vinyl? Are you excited? Because it's a very like chill type, really nice. I think will be beautiful on vinyl. If you could share a little bit more about that or your vision or it's the demand of the time.
Yeah. So it took me about a year to get it into the vinyl form. So a lot longer than I had kind of anticipated, but I'm glad it's finally working because now I can, I understand the process a little bit better and how to make it work for future releases. And hopefully next time it won't be a year in between when I release an album and the vinyl comes out. So but it's regardless, my love for vinyl has been just steadily increasing with my collection and to the negative impact of my bank account. But I just love listening to records and listening to vinyl at home. And so this is super exciting. I have not heard it yet. I haven't gotten my own copy yet. That's kind of hopefully happening in a couple of weeks. So yeah, this is a big step to kind of take this to the next level. I decided to go with a double vinyl. So I don't know if you're familiar, but like the way the records work is that when you try and squeeze a bunch of tracks onto a vinyl, the quality starts to be reduced, especially the songs that are closer to the middle. So instead of sacrificing quality, I decided to go with a double vinyl for this album. So hopefully it'll be the highest fidelity possible. And I'm just making it the best sounding record we could. So got a really good mastering engineer I've been working with, Audible Oddities. And we got some beautiful artwork and a gatefold vinyl. So yeah, this is a big step for me. I've been doing this music thing for a really long time. I've always dreamed of having a record, and now I finally get one. So this is a big one for me, and I'm excited to share it with everyone.
Beautiful. I'm curious, do you think you'll be putting some of your older work on vinyl once you get this in the flow?
Yes. I've had a lot of people ask me over the years particularly for my albums Arose, Visceral, those two in particular, and also Release and Awoke. So I'm kind of thinking that kind of seeing how this goes is to kind of re-release a lot of my older albums on vinyl. So that's definitely in the pipeline, and just kind of depending on how this all works out and financially what makes sense on my end and how much I can invest or if we can do pre-sales. It's kind of a little bit complicated process, but I think now that I understand and I'm working with a good company, we will be able to re-release my old albums, and that'll be really exciting.
Share a little bit, you know, you have been in the game for a bit and really, I don't know, started this transcendental experience, I would call it. It's like, to me, your music's like an extension of the soul, the universe, and nature all in one. And it's a beautiful journey. Now going back to more physical, you know, I feel like we'll go back more to terrestrial radio. We're going to go to vinyl, all these things. Where do you feel like for you, your expression will continue to like evolve? Because I feel like you led the music world into one place in your genre, and then now we're going to another spot. Where do you feel like you're evolving into?
The music follows me along in my path of who I am as a person. And it's been a bit interesting last few years of, you know, I mean, we've all been through it, like with the whole COVID thing and then a bunch of other changes in my personal life, moving to Colorado and kind of reorienting myself here. And then also my dad passed away a little over a year ago. And that really inspired my last album as sort of a cathartic experience of expressing a lot of that pain around. He had cancer. And so it was a really tough journey emotionally for me, and that came through with my music as a way to kind of get through a lot of this emotion. So my last album was really probably one of the hardest ones I've ever had to write, just because I felt so distracted emotionally from sort of my normal path as an artist, which is a lot. I'm always been a little bit more sort of self-involved, and this one was a lot more of a expression of that other side, which is like a healing process within myself. So releasing that last album and On Magnificence, the one that's coming out on vinyl, was sort of like the final step in sort of getting through that era of my life of sort of all the confusion and changing and the new studio and then everything. And so now that I'm settled with what I'm doing, I'm really trying to change direction within my music to get focused on music that is, I guess, more detailed and more oriented towards where I'm at now. I'm sort of working on a couple different avenues right now. One of them is sort of, I guess, what people would recognize as like the typical or traditional random rap sound, the down tempo and all that stuff. I'm also kind of working on what I'm calling a club set type music, which is more specifically oriented towards dance floor, more of a European sound, faster dance music. And then also the complete opposite side of the spectrum, which is completely ambient music, for a project that I'm calling Metonic Cycles, and then doing a lot of stuff inspired by my experience and others' experiences with psychedelic assisted therapy and different types of psychedelic journeys. So these songs are typically 20, 25 minutes long. I think my longest one is 35 minutes for one song. And they're crafted without, it's a non-looping, live constructed ambient music that is ever evolving and changing. So there's no, any kind of repetition only lasts for 20, 30 seconds. And so it's constantly morphing into a new sound within the song itself. It's a type of sound that I've never heard other people make with ambient music. Typically what I hear with ambient music is kind of like more like new age massage music is what I think people associate with ambient music. Whereas I feel like the kind of ambient music that I'm working on now is much more edgy and alien like. So there's kind of there's an edge to it. So my wife, who is a massage therapist and acupuncturist, says that she can't use it in her massage sessions. And I'm like, well, that's not really the point. So the point is more about expanding what's capable in our mind to see different aspects of our, what feels good, what feels bad. And it's just sort of a journey within. So on that note of doing the ambient show, doing a premiere of, I have played one set in a cave in with Papa Dozio. That was interesting, but I'm doing a set on May 11th with Android Jones in a church in Portland.
Yeah.
So he's going to be doing live 3D mapped projection, and I'm going to be playing a live ambient set with, we have a grand piano and a real church organ, and the 3D map projection thing. It's just going to be a full on new experience and a different, it's a seated show. So it's a completely different type of show. So yeah, I'm just exploring different ways to express myself musically and different ways for other people to experience music that maybe they're not familiar with.
Wow. That was like a journey. I was on the dance floor and then more, like traditional dance. And then I'm like, oh, we're going on a medicine journey. I'm going to work backwards. When you talk alien, where do you most resonate? As far as like an extension of your alien self, can you make some of the sounds into the mic?
Well, I don't know if I can make I am doing some vocal stuff in this music, but I'm transforming my voice very heavily to make it work, because it's kind of, have you ever heard of so if you were to think of dancing the way that we typically understand dance, is sort of moving with the beat. And because there is no beat and there is no rhythm, but there's still a way to kind of dance with it. And it's more what I kind of associate with like buto, which is a style of Japanese sort of performance dance, which is a lot less rhythmic, you know? And I see a lot of almost like creatures in my mind dancing in such in this way where it's a different type of expression. It's almost like trying to, instead of moving with the beat, we're kind of it's like stretching, you know, out your arms and moving within the sounds of finding different ways that the sound affects different parts of our bodies that are less based on rhythm and more about sensation. So that's the best way I can kind of come up with that is like, and that's why the alien aspect comes into me, because I definitely see some strange alien creatures in my mind when I'm making this stuff.
I can see it and I can feel it. and so the medicine, will you have a
medicine component
to that show with Android, or is that going to be?
Well, that's sort of, the laws are such that I'm not sure what I could or what I would become. It's kind of a choose your own adventure for anyone who attends. I don't think that I'm going to be advertising it as such, like, you know, and also I don't really want to necessarily encourage people to put themselves in a position that they're not comfortable with within themselves. So I'm going to let people be adults about that and make the decision for themselves. And I'm not really encouraging or discouraging any kind of thing. I mean, I hope, hopefully that whatever people do choose, they're expanding their mind and not shutting down or affecting their way, their bodies in such a way that will inhibit their ability to be fully present. And I think that's the most important thing. So I think there's not really a directive, I guess is the best way to say it.
Beautiful. Well, we bringing in the organs and the grand piano. Are you familiar with like the hidden world of Tartaria at all?
No.
You're speaking that at,
okay. I feel like I've heard that. I've heard that, but I don't know what it is.
Yeah, it's basically, I'll have to send you some pictures. Android can noodle around it. I don't know if it's an AI psyop or if it's true, but you've gone to the big like cathedrals in different places, you know? So it's acoustically taking those very like mystical places that really, you guys are going to really rock it with the visuals and the music. And to be noted that your music is very transcendental. So I think it's good, just all natural, you know, you manage to take people places. Yeah.
Well, thanks. Yeah. I think that part of the, you know, I grew up going to church in an Episcopal church. Andrew was also, he was an altar boy just like me. And so we're like kind of, we have a lot of experience with sort of, you know, I'm not a practicing Christian or anything, but I do think that the spaces that are created through any kind of church or synagogue or whatever, I mean, like places like the Hagia Sophia in Istanbul or places that are architecturally built to experience spiritual feelings can be very, very powerful just in the architecture, and also acoustically have a very special certain sound. And what's interesting that I found is in playing, I guess, typical electronic music with like a heavy snare drum and these types of things will echo. It echoes in such a way that it changes the music and kind of makes it really spread out, highly reverberated, right? So what I'm excited about with a show like this is to use that reverberation to enhance the music and not just take away from it, which is kind of my experience with typical electronic music, is that the spaces can kind of take away from the music because it's so reverberated that you lose a lot of detail. But with this type of music, it will become hopefully one with the architecture in such a way that in fact, I was thinking about, I want to record my set, but I don't want to record it right off the mixing board because that's not going to be the sound of the show. It has to be recorded, mixed with the ambience of the room. So we're going to try and find a way to do a live recording that really captures the room, because that's really a big part of the sound.
Yeah, the perfect person to send you. He might be helpful in capturing that because he understands that.
Oh, okay.
Do you think this will be a one-off in a church, or you might go for more places?
We're going to see how it goes. We're working with Beloved Presents. They're out of Portland. They do Beloved Festival and a bunch of other events. And we've been kind of discussing the potential. We're going to see how this first show goes and if it's the kind of thing we want to take touring and if there's excitement around it. I mean, I'm open to it, but again, I wonder how it's going to go for me too. Like maybe it's going to be a completely terrifying experience. I don't know. We'll just see how it goes. But yeah, I'm excited to see what might come of it. I'm going to be releasing an album in tandem with it. So there's definitely something we're going to see how this event goes. And then if it really goes well, and there's a lot of excitement around the event, then perhaps we'll take it and do a few other shows at other incredible locations that it's gotta be somewhere very special with lots of amazing acoustics, you know, that's kind of the idea. So it'll be something that will be probably not like a tour where I'll tour, you know, play a Friday here and a Saturday here, but maybe occasionally we'll do some really special events like this if there's enough excitement around it.
Yeah, beautiful. Europe, you could make a tour there because there's enough amazing churches. Not that they're not here in the United States, but yeah. Oh, I'm so excited. I would like to see that. With, AI coming out, and you mentioned Android, like you two kind of are the forefathers, I feel like, into this whole transcendental, psychedelic, otherworldly expression back to earth. Where do you feel this is going for all of us? Because, you know, you guys are creators, like original creators, I feel. But how do you feel about a machine taking parts of what you create and then twisting into something else? Have you thought about that?
I've definitely thought about it a lot. And I'm still formulating my thoughts around it. However, I can tell you that I've been doing a lot of work with AI myself. And I know Andrew has been doing a ton of stuff. I mean, he even has his own kind of AI platform now called Chimera, which is, it's ingested all of his work. And then you can go to Chimera and create pieces of artwork that are essentially based off of Android pieces. Right. So it's a way to kind of still be true to the one artist, I guess. It's a kind of a new approach as opposed to just sort of taking from the, you know, every artist that's ever been created a piece of work. So that's one interesting way that he's doing it. But as it kind of creeps into the music world, I'm simultaneously terrified and fascinated with it because I've definitely messed around with creating pieces of music with AI. It is not very good yet, but it's getting better. And it's getting a lot more, it's just getting better every day. And it kind of freaks me out in a way because I can see how it'd be easy to lean on this stuff. I think where it's going to affect our culture initially will be things kind of like a lot of jingles and commercials and these types of things will start using AI generated music. But that music was never really that good anyway. So I don't really care about jingles and stuff. And if AI is making it, like, so be it. Of course, a lot of artists and musicians may lose their income because they won't be able to have these streams of income creating things like jingles and whatever random clips for whatever. That being said, I think it's only going to push what is considered good art forward. And I think that as the bar, so I can get on Midjourney right now and create the most incredible pieces of artwork. And I've worked with Midjourney a lot and it's insane. It really opens up your mind because you're seeing these pieces of artwork that have never been seen before that you kind of had a hand in making, but yet you're not making it.
Right.
So as we become, I think, desensitized to this AI artwork over time, and everyone's going to have access to all these tools to create whatever pieces of art they want. I mean, it's going to completely revolutionize the way that we see art and see what a creator is. But I think it's going to raise the bar and change what it means to be an artist that only the most innovative artists are going to be able to kind of be noticed and be seen and be create something worthy that has value because of AI. So although it'll maybe mess up the economy of artists or what it means to be an artist, and it may change the way that we as creators have an avenue to make a living off of it, ultimately what the actual art that will be made in 10, 20, 30 years is going to be so absolutely mind-blowing that I'm actually really excited to see how it pushes creators to innovate and to be different. I mean, maybe we're going to get back to just playing acoustic guitar around the fire, and that'll be everybody's going to get so sick of all this digital stuff that they're going to be like wanting to get back to their roots. I don't know, but I think that whatever's going to happen, it's going to be really cool and interesting.
I love that you share that. Being that you've been, you know, immersing yourself in it, do you feel, because when I was in architecture and design school, we used to say there's like two types of designers or creators. One that is original creator. That's why I say I feel like you're an original creator. And then there's a copycat, you know, where they're not tapped into their imagination, I guess is the best way to put it. So they don't know, they only know how to like see something and replicate.
Yeah.
So do you feel like that'll kind of weed it out? Because maybe initially the person that has a tendency to copycat, that will make it faster for them, but they still won't have the original activation within their imagination. Do you know what I mean? I mean, how do you feel?
Well, I think there's kind of two things. I mean, there's a lot of art that's derivative, whether, you know, there's a huge genre of music that's derivative, whether it's like remix scene or DJ type stuff, you know, that actually can be expressive. We're all kind of standing on the shoulders of giants as artists, no matter how you look at it. So we're all kind of derivative artists, no matter what we do. However, I think that there's something inside of me and a lot of artists that it's a desire to actually create. Like, we want to create as a way to express ourselves. And entering a prompt in Midjourney and getting this amazing piece of artwork, that might satisfy the itch to be seen as some kind of artist, but are you really expressing yourself? You're not expressing yourself. You're just writing a prompt. So for instance, I'm working with Midjourney all the time right now, just experimenting with it, maybe making like posters and that kind of thing, just to see what I can do. But I still have a desire to express myself on, you know, it doesn't scratch that itch at all. Like, I feel like it's completely, it's fascinating to witness how this technology works. And there is something I think kind of deeply spiritual about trying to understand how AI works, but I don't think I still need to create my own music from scratch. And I don't ever see myself using AI to write songs for me, because then it's almost like, what's the point at that? You know, I want to make music that is expressive of who I am as a person, and being involved in every detail along the way is so important to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. In conjunction with the imagination being expressed, how on a soul level do you feel like it's able to connect with your soul and extend it?
It's a good question, because I'm questioning like what that even really means, because there are times working with AI stuff where I've actually felt like I've had kind of a spiritual experience, whether it's working with ChatGPT or working with Midjourney. There's something about the seeing how it reflects your thoughts, and that is actually quite fascinating. And it's also like, how the hell does it know all these things that, like, I have seen Midjourney create pieces of art that are so absolutely stunningly beautiful that I just can't even believe it. And there's something really fascinating about that. Like, why and how is this even possible? So I find it to be kind of a deeper way of understanding what it means to be human, because if a computer can kind of understand what beauty is, or at least replicate something that is beautiful or whatever, I don't know what the word is that AI is, it creating, is it just amalgamation of data? I'm not sure, but there's something really powerful there. I'm like, why, how is it even possible? But I think it all kind of goes back to, like, I know with music, you know, it's like we've been making music since we could make sound as humans, but then late down the road, I think there was an understanding of it. Hey, this is math. You know, there's a lot of what makes music beautiful is very mathematical. So there is a structure behind it that is inherent to who we are as people. So it only makes sense that a computer could sort of follow along with that, because there already is math involved in what we find beautiful, with symmetry and harmony and all these different things. So I don't know. It's kind of every day. I mean, it's kind of been messing with my head a little bit, I got to say, but I'm trying to stay optimistic about it and not go down too much of a dark tunnel, because you can see how this technology can just take over, you know, at the same time.
Yeah. We're going to be in the Lucy film. I don't know if you've ever seen that. I like how you phrase that. I only went into chat for a bit. I was a little like, I don't understand why it has to go so fast. Like, I was like, why are you typing back at me so fast?
Yeah, that's creepy.
Yeah, it's very fascinating, but it wouldn't answer my question. In your words, it kind of brings me back to, because I'm a very like skilled remote viewer and astral traveler and can get into lucid states. And so I wonder if it's really tapped, because those are neural pathways and they're sending out, you know, we send out electromagnetic fields from our body. So I wonder if, do you feel like the technology is picking up on those intricate threads that we're not even conscious of or subconsciously aware of? Because I know sometimes in my, astral state, it's HD, hi-fi, you know, and sometimes I'm like, I wish I could capture this. Do you feel like the technology is actually doing that and they're not telling us yet?
I don't think that they, whoever the creators are, even know what they're doing. I don't think anyone knows for sure. However, I can personally say that, you know, working with technology to make music since the beginning, I started making music, whether it was a 4-track tape recorder or a drum machine or even electric guitar. These are all pieces of technology. And so every piece of music that we've ever heard that has been pre-recorded or amplified is using technology as a way to transform thought into sound wave into thought. So there's some technology is almost always involved in some way. Even our voice is somehow almost like a piece of technology. So we've been using technology since forever, and especially with electronic music and all this stuff. And I mean, I don't know for sure, but I feel like I've had what might be called a spiritual experience or something with pieces of technology throughout my career at so many different times. So to think that an AI model wouldn't have that same sort of juju in it, I don't see that being possible. So it's a really tough question that I think it's going to, like, kind of the idea of, like, what's consciousness? I mean, is there consciousness in this AI thing as well? And I mean, I don't think so, but I don't know, you know, I mean, there might be something there that maybe there is, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, if anyone listening or yourself have gone lucid, we know that, you know, you could melt down and reappear someplace else and it all seems real. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's good that I love that, you know, I saw Android doing a lot of, you know, talking about this on different platforms, but I'm glad that you guys are coming together. And I think this experience to create will be really like a threshold to something really exciting. So I guess we should be open, not closed-minded.
Yeah.
If you will.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I like what, if you can share, you know, if you don't mind me talking about your dad for a moment, with that transition, typically what I work with people at the end of life and families, they'll feel an electromagnetic shift. I always say that, you know, our dads, our biological fathers are plugged into our solar plexus. That's where we connect, like that sun, fire energy. What have you noticed, you know, now being a little bit further out, not that it makes it any easier, as far as a shift within you in your relationship with him, and then just as a person expressing yourself here and now without the physical father here, but your soul father around.
It was an interesting journey because my father was vibrant and healthy, and then was diagnosed with a really horrible form of cancer. It was a tumor on his spine, and it took, you know, over the course of like 2.5 years, he went from, you know, healthy to completely destroyed and was in excruciating pain near the end. It was a very, very difficult time to see this person that I, you know, my dad, who's always been a rock for me, kind of physically degraded and also, you know, started kind of losing his mind at the end too. And that was incredibly difficult to witness. And there was so much kind of tension and pain around that. And for me, it actually manifested, not long after he, was diagnosed, I started to develop this pain in my chest. I actually got so bad one time, I thought I was having a heart attack, and I went to the hospital.
Oh, wow.
They told they couldn't find anything wrong, and it was right over my heart. And I perhaps it was just like a dislocated rib or who knows what it was, but it was a really deep pain in my chest that just wouldn't go away. And then not long at, to the point, actually, when I was even working on the album, it was a high, it was super distracting to try and work on music and stuff. I had this chest pain that I was really concerned about and was kind of like, you know, spent nights in bed thinking about it. Like, am I dying? Am I having a heart attack? What's going on here? About a month after my dad passed, the pain just left my body and it hasn't returned. And I think in some way it was manifested in some sort of pain in my heart or something. I don't know. I can't really explain it, but,
interesting.
Yeah, it was
the connector point.
Something. I can't help but just because it really was timed a month after he was diagnosed to a month after he passed away. So that being said, you know, the concern that I had for him and for my family and for what we had to go through to take care of my dad, it was really tough. And letting his life go, as difficult as it was also kind of a release of energy for all of us to kind of let him be pain free. I think we all were holding on to a lot of pain, even beyond like that thing that I was describing. Like I had just this tension that was inside of me through the whole process. Mm-hmm. Being able to have music was the only way that I was able to kind of get it out of my system. And I think that, you know, I really, I'm so grateful that I have music and some way to express myself, because I think without it, I would have like exploded potentially. Moving through all of that, releasing this album, and then kind of not moving on, but moving forward, has really been an amazing gift that I was able to kind of receive from the universe. And so now as I'm creating, I feel so much more free and light, playful, not so serious. And I think that's what was really kind of defining like my last album, was a sense of seriousness within myself. Mm. And maybe not even necessarily with the music, but just that was the attitude that I brought to it. So yeah, I feel just a lot lighter now with how I'm working with my music and feeling kind of a lot more just the love of being in a place of acceptance with everything.
Mm. Wow. I'm glad you shared that. I'm sorry you had to go through that, and it kind of shows you, I guess, where you were connected to your father in the heart center, now that you both have a little bit of freedom from there. And then have you had any signs from him?
Oh, you know, I don't know. Yes. And no. I mean, yeah, I think so. I'm not sure how to really what those would be, but there's been, you know, it's kind of like, you know, things, coincidences and strange things. I'm a dad myself. And so there's a lot of messages that I feel like I'm receiving about, or at least I hear him kind of guiding me along the way sometimes, or, you know, but I haven't nothing completely tangible that some people may you know, whatever the experience with this type of thing. I can't really think of anything that would be tangible, but there's definitely feelings that come up here and there.
Yeah. Beautiful. Thank you for sharing. I know that's like near and dear to your world. And as you like continue to move on, I keep like these little alien creatures keep my intuitive self. You know, I think you've waxed and waned from otherworldly beings from my perspective, observation of your work and nature. Where do they exist for you? Is it out beyond, or is it all layered here?
You know, I don't think there's any way for me to really know for sure what's happening, and kind of also know the difference between what I want to be true and what is true, and what kind of confirmation bias I have on my strange spiritual beliefs or inclinations. But I mean, through my work with different types of medicine, I kind of get the feeling that there's like a life force energy that exists all around us that is something that we generally just don't see. Or and you know, I was really fascinated when I was working when I was in college and studying bioanthropology and different aspects of biology, that the definition of life and kind of where does life begin and where does kind of like, is it a rock or is it alive? You know, is it a crystal alive? Or, you know, we have this very particular definition of life, which it has to be a single, you know, a cell, it has to exist with water, it has DNA, all these different things. But who's to say that life doesn't really exist outside of those things? And I guess that's sort of the feeling I get, that life energy sort of exists beyond the structures that we associate with life. And I don't think that our brains are really able to comprehend how that's possible or what that would even look like. In fact, I don't think that we can even really see it with our own eyes. It's just something that we experience. And I think, but going back to like with my work with medicine, I felt like I was able to sort of see and many people have seen this, you know, is the interconnectedness of all things. And I think when we speak of the interconnectedness of all things, like what is it that is the connecting thing, the thread that actually connects us all? And perhaps it's something that exists on a quantum level, or perhaps it exists in some other dimension. I don't really know, but I do feel that when I'm creating my art, working with music, that it sort of lifts the veil somewhat. And there's just a little glimmer into some other, that thread that, and to me, music sort of lubricates the connection between things. Yeah. And so we can say that there's a oneness to all things, but then for me personally, I feel like music sort of loosens that, like lubricates that connection, and we can kind of see that thread a little more clearly.
Yeah. I don't know about the whole oneness thing. I think it's a tapestry.
Yeah.
A layered cake. I don't know.
I don't know either.
Because, I mean, you're describing for the listeners and those that have gone lucid or been on a medicine journey, when you're going into all that, it's like kind of mind-boggling if you pay attention and observe. Like, it doesn't give a sense of a finite point, and it's like, oh, this just keeps going and going and going, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, infinity. So, yeah, but I'm going to call them your aliens, because they seem to kind of like in my quantum field want to participate right now. So do you feel like familiar with them? Like you see them all the time, or like, when you're creating, or just happenstance one time off? Because there's a lot of people that see similar things, you know, and you couldn't ever say like it's corroborated by if someone sketches it or draws it, or they're both there seeing it. I'm curious for you.
I think it's, you know, it's kind of like how when I wish I could remember this phrase, when you look and see faces in, like, you're looking at a tree and you see a face in the tree or whatever, you know,
yeah.
And then, and if you've ever done like, you know, mushrooms or something, you can kind of like start to see faces everywhere, you know. It's like, but if you look directly at it, it kind of disappears. It sort of exists in the peripheral vision. And that's sort of how I feel about whatever, you know, any kind of like, oh, beings or aliens or gargoyles that I kind of summon through the creative process, when I feel like it's always in the peripheral vision of my imagination. So it's sort of a self, it feeds itself, because the power of imagination, it's easy to think of imagination as just completely inventing nothing from nothing. And that we're when you imagine something, that means that, okay, it doesn't exist and you're just kind of pretending it does. Whereas I feel like imagination is actually a lot more powerful than that. I feel like it actually is sort of a witnessing and an actual manifestation of some sort of thing, an unveiling of something, rather than completely inventing something out of nothingness. So I feel that's occasionally working on music and whatnot, I sort of sense the presence of sort of life all around me, and whether I've never actually seen kind of like a clear as day, you know, some creature sitting on my couch or anything, but I would like to, but instead I feel like it's kind of on the periphery of my imagination, but you can't look right at it, you know? So
I got you.
Yeah, but it's really fun, you know? And so I welcome it. I always think it's really fun to kind of like create this sort of feeling that there's like, you're not alone, you know, when you're working on art.
Absolutely. Well, and share, you know, and so when you talk about imagination, if you're familiar with some of the Gnostic teachings with, you know, Sophia, you know, this living, breathing organism called the earth plane or planet, you know, some of those teachings suggest that this ecosystem that we're in relies on our imagination to keep, you know, like creating kind of like that medicine vortex one goes through, gateway goes through. Can you share a little bit how you see the relationship between the two, the earth and, you know, these other dimensional fields that aren't fully like granular, but, you know, if you go look at a butterfly, there's just so much in that with the colors and the expressions or anything in nature, really.
For me, it just feels like it's, this is just what we're only capable of seeing, kind of like a small window into what is actually all out there, whether it's, you know, the light spectrums of you know, different lights that we can only see visible light, but yet there's all these other lights, you know, whether it's radar or infrared or all these different wavelengths, rather. And same with sound, there's frequencies that we can't hear. So we're already super aware of, there's things that we can't see, there's things that we can't hear, but we know that they're all around us. And the earth is just this giant magnetic, incredibly huge, awesome gravitational pulling thing covered in life, floating around a ball of fire and plasma, you know, in the middle of a cold, dark space. I mean, we have no idea what we can't see. There's a lot of unknowns. And I think that it's all just absolutely fascinating to think about what knowledge is contained within the earth that we just have no concept of. We don't even have the ability to conceive of it. So there's so much mystery there that is just it's just so fun and fascinating to dig deeper into that. And whether whether we do it through science or whether we do it through spirituality or whether we do it through art, I mean, there's all different ways to kind of access this mystery. And that it's just, it's a hell of a lot of fun and really interesting. And I don't think there's no way you're ever going to know, but there's a lot of clues.
Yeah. Well, and share with the listeners how you feel, you know, we talk a little bit about AI, but how you feel about, you know, back, I don't know, like 10 or 12 years ago, like this place, Dahmer Horror, that you might've heard, they were doing some of the electrodes and sharing how the trees sing. And now there's that company Plants. This isn't a plug. I just am thinking of them, where you can like pull the music off a tree or a mushroom. And from a person like yourself that creates music from, I don't know, a symphony of sounds, do you feel we should be doing that? Like hooking up electrodes to plants and incorporating it? Or do you feel it's kind of violating? Like if I put electrodes on you and you have all these additional frequencies you're not aware of, and I started, I don't know, taking them and doing whatever I wanted. I mean, how do you feel about that? I was like noodling around. I'm like, that's cool. But then I'm like, is that really appropriate that I, you know, commandeer the trees frequencies that we can't hear?
From an ethical standpoint, personally, I think that if anyone's plugging into a tree to get, or a mushroom to get any kind of frequency, I see that as probably the smartest thing we could do, because those trees and mushrooms probably have a lot more stuff that they could be telling us that we're unaware of. So if anything, it's kind of like calling grandma, you know, on the phone. It's like we're talking to these or listening to these absolutely wonderful creatures and life forms. And I don't really, unless you were to, I guess, injure an animal or something like that in the pursuit of these frequencies. Like, I don't think we should be installing like chips inside of monkey brains or anything like that. But I do think there's no harm in listening to the trees and listening to the mushrooms or sticking microphones wherever we can stick them in this world. 'Cause I think there's a lot of knowledge there that maybe it might actually be helpful.
Yeah. Well, I guess the converse would be that. And I guess that's this conversation, you know, between artificial and organic, you know, inorganic, organic, versus learning how to listen. You know, if you go to some of Castaneda's work, you know, he even warns in there through his medicine journeys and shamanic passages of inorganic beings and organic beings, and as how he described it. I guess we'll learn along the way, right?
Maybe. Yeah, I think also, like, going back to your point about the trees thing, I mean, like, you know, guitars, the best guitars and violin, they're made of wood, you know, there's something there to it. It's right. Like, if you've ever played a plastic guitar, you realize that the beauty of wood and trees and the organic material, or like a natural skin on a drum, these types of things, there's something really powerful about that sound and resonance and these frequencies that are able to be transmitted through organic material that can't really be replicated with synthetics. So right, I think that there's something about organic material that moves frequencies around in ways that I think are very special, you know?
I guess it would screech at us if it really didn't want us doing it.
Yeah.
Plug in the electrode, it starts screeching. Okay, yeah, I'm glad you shared that. These are helpful discourse, because I think we're at such an interesting time. And we're entering into the age of Aquarius, which will take as long as it needs to take, which is higher states of creation and consciousness that allows things to manifest in ways that I feel like we can't imagine quite yet. So maybe the AI is the bridge, you know, is our, what do they call it? A gateway drug to get there.
Well, yeah, we'll see. I mean, I think that, I mean, going back to your other point too, I think that nature has a very good way of telling us when not to mess with it, you know, and there's, like, whether it's poison or, you know, touching a jellyfish or poison oak. I mean, these plants and animals, they're very, very clear about, hey, you don't mess with this one, you know, but the ones that are soft and fuzzy and don't hurt us, I mean, those are the, you know, the ones that taste good. These are the ones that are clearly inviting us into it. But I think that, we'll, with AI, I don't think that these safeguards are inherently built into it. And so I think that's where we're going to have to be careful, is there's no protection. There's no clear path forward with it. It's just kind of, we're just going to be figuring it out.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel nature has always been intertwined into this technology that we use even right now for this interview. Is nature can supersede it all when or if it was needed, I feel.
Yeah.
But we shall see. We don't know.
Yeah.
yeah. Oh, so beautiful. So you're going to vinyl. We're going to bring it full circle now. Your next, you have like a three palettes looks like coming out in the future, which is super exciting. And how soon will you be rolling out some of that new music that you described?
Well, we're going to be, so the show that I'm doing at the church in Portland is happening on May 11th. And we're actually in, I'm not sure when this interview is coming out, but we're announcing it this week. So it hasn't been announced
okay,
yet.
Okay, perfect. I'll add it on.
Yeah. So that's sort of, I'm going to be, I guess, or releasing the ambient music in conjunction with that show in some way. And then I have a bunch of shows with my other side project Dose that I think we talked about it last time we spoke.
Yeah.
So we're doing some shows in April in Colorado and a few other festivals and stuff. And so we have that going. And so they're just going to be kind of the next few months are going to be kind of trickling out a bunch of different stuff, I guess.
Yeah, beautiful. On that, we will put all the like your tour dates and link in there and the pre-order for the vinyl once it's at that phase. Can you, you know, I have a passion for wanting all artists to make a beyond living wage for their art. I feel like art is one of the most healing and transformative things we can offer society. All these years in the business, where do you feel the consumer needs to welcome themselves to shift? Because back in the day when we had vinyl, you know, vinyl, CD, 8-track, cassettes, music's been bought so many different ways, but there was usually kind of a person in between, maybe taking more than their fair share. Where would you encourage the consumer to start to create the change versus, you know, the industry, if you will?
That's an interesting question because it's constantly sort of changing and shifting. And I think with things like, you know, just like Spotify, for instance, which is, you know, it's given me an opportunity to, I guess, share my music with more people, but then there's very little income that I can derive from it. And yeah, whatever income I can get from it is very amorphous and I don't really understand where it's coming from. And there's no clarity around like who's listening, or I don't have a direct contact with my fans or anyone through that platform. And so I think that it's kind of going back to basics is like the best way that people can support art and the best way that I can interact with my fans is currently through shows. Now if I had like more of like an online like YouTube channel that I was active on, maybe perhaps that would be a way to do it too. But for me personally, meeting people at shows, having people support and come to shows and be a part of the actual community, and meeting other people at the shows, that's really become sort of the focus of what makes it all the wheels turn. That's where I make, you know, 80% of my income. And that's where we can cut out the middleman for anything that we do. So that's really so far the best way. However, I think I'm going to be focusing a lot more on online stuff this year, just for the hell of it. And because I want to maybe not play quite as many shows this year. Not that I'm burnt out, but I'm just needing a break. And So maybe there'll be other opportunities along the way there too.
Okay, beautiful. Well, the vinyl will enter you into, we used to have to search for music, like physically search for music.
Anyone who hasn't listened to, anyone who doesn't own a record player, you know, get one. Because it's so much more fun. And it's just, it makes the whole experience of listening to music just a million times better to listen to an entire album and discover new tracks of music. It's such a better way to listen to music than through random playlists on Spotify.
Yeah, absolutely. So I agree. Well, Rob, I really appreciate you taking the time. It's always a joy to talk to you and go down different rabbit holes. So you keep creating and I look forward to looking up this show in Portland. I may have to drive up there and go to it.
Yeah. I'll send you the info on it when it comes out and hopefully it'll be a destination.
Yeah, sounds good. All right. Well, you have a beautiful day. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me on today.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Once again, I want to thank Rab for being here today. All of you for listening in. Please, if inspired and possible, support the arts. All his links to events, merch, and his new vinyl are below. And we're going to exit out with a little random Rab, and it's called This Way. Until next time, this is Suzanne signing out with a full heart, a soft gaze, a deep bow, and a namaste. Be simply.
California, we won't forget it. If I had to